Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Speak this morning on the subject of the waiting area. How many of you enjoy waiting? Good. I'm in good company. That's what I thought. And this is sort of a follow-up. I know we finished the series as Seasons Change, but this is sort of a follow-up of just something that came to mind that I felt was important. This is what you call a P.S. You know a P.S., you know when you've written the letter, everything's concluded, and then there's a, P.S., something you just want to add. And this is something that I thought would just help all of us in this season that we're at. So this is my P.S. And I'm reading from Psalm 40. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And so good to see that what we were singing as we worship God, everything just flowed so well this morning. Don't you love when that happens, when you just get that flow? So this is what the psalmist said. Now, it would appear that in this psalm that this is an occasion that David is giving thanks to God for his power and goodness when there was some situation, pressing trouble. We don't know what that was, but he was in danger of being overwhelmed. You ever felt like that? That sometimes in life you face stuff that almost would almost just take you out. And this is what David said. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Isn't that good? He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust the Lord. If you have a car that is over 3 years old, you have to get it MOT'd. MOTs are a very fascinating thing. It's for a car. And there's actually a sign. I think we have it up here. This on your right is the sign for MOT. And here we have what they call the waiting area. So obviously you could go get your car MOT'd and wait for it. And the purpose of an MOT is to see that your vehicle is roadworthy. Therefore, not only that you'll be safe, but hopefully that anyone that gets in the car will be safe, that anyone you're in contact with will be safe. You must have that after 3 years. There is a test to see if the vehicle is roadworthy. Have you discovered in your Christian life, it's not necessarily just 3 years. Sometimes it can be 3 months. Sometimes it can be 6 months. Sometimes it can be after a period of years, that God will take you to a point where you go through perhaps a seasons of tests, because God wants to just check that everything that you sing about, preach about, say amen about, you actually still believe and you're still operating a value in your life. Someone say amen. And sometimes you find yourself in what I call this waiting room of God working on your behalf, but maybe you're like me, that you want God to work a little bit quicker than he actually is. You sort of want God to speed up the process, because I don't know if you're like me, but I'm not very good at waiting. I'm not a very patient person. Interesting thing is this. When I was younger, I was a lot more patient than I am now. I don't have a clue why that is. I'm sure it has nothing to do with ministry at all. But I'm finding that patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit that I really need to develop and work with for all my life. But there are benefits to waiting on some things, because sometimes if we receive things too early in life, the very thing that is meant to bless us could actually end up breaking us. And so it is in the spiritual realm, in your Christian walk. There are some things that you're praying right now that God would move quickly on, but God in his wisdom knows that if he was to answer that prayer right now, instead of actually being a blessing, it would actually break you, because there are areas in our life that God is allowing the circumstance and the trial that we're going through to equip us for the person and the people that God has called us to be. Now, this psalm is written for the fast-paced, microwave, right now culture, because we want everything right now, don't we? Waiting or patience is not in our vocabulary of 2018 culture. When Phyllis and I first got married, next month, 36 years. Through many trials, tears, and Phyllis has come. When we first got married, different generation, let me speak into that. When we first got married, we actually moved into my mom and dad's house. We lived with my mom and dad for the first 6 months. Hello. Two rooms, a bedroom upstairs, a living room downstairs, shared bathroom accommodation. A wee bit awkward, wasn't it? When we first got married, that's what it looked like. And generations change now because everybody, when they get married, they immediately want their own house. We lived in a different generation than now. Our forefathers, when you think about it, go back a little bit. Our forefathers, we can jump on a smartphone, and because of the internet, we can get anything we want, information right now, immediately. We can send emails literally across the world. But previous generations sent letters that took forever and ever. But we are so used to immediate things happen that if you send an email or a text message to someone, we now sort of get a little bit antsy if they don't respond within the day because we're not very good at waiting. When Phyllis and I first got married again, the first washing machine that we had was a twin tub. How many remember twin tubs? Oh, well, keep your hands up just so I can scan the crowd. Wow, I am so impressed. Put your hand down. How many of you don't have a clue what a twin tub is? How many of you don't know what a washing machine is? They were twin tub. Now, the incredible thing, those of us that had twin tubs and those of us that did the washing, and yes, I do the washing because I'm a modern guy. What was fascinating about the twin tubs is that you would wash in the bigger drum, and then it would go into the smaller drum. You remember that? And you could rinse. And the great thing was that while you were rinsing one load, you could start washing the other load, and boom, boom, boom. It took a little bit of time. You had to stay there with it. Not like our automatic machines now. That's a twin tub. And those were great days. And I remember when we got the first twin tub. I remember our first settee and furniture, because it was actually my sister Wendy who is here. It was actually a settee that she gave us, and we had it recovered, brown velour, and but hey, it was our house, and it was our twin tub, and it was our furniture, and we were so happy with that. You know why? Because we were just content. But nowadays, we live in a generation of fast act, fast moving. Everything's got to be new. Everything's got to be on it. We don't want to wait. But thank God, that waiting with secondhand furniture and two rooms shared in mom's house has actually made us the people that we are today. There was something about the waiting in the natural that has created and formed the character that we have, which, number one, we love Jesus. Number two, we have seen the provision of God in all areas of our life. There is something about waiting. There are benefits. We appreciate what we have. We appreciate what God has done for us. And the reason that I want to speak on this morning is I'm aware that probably in this room there are some of you that are going through stuff and you're going, God, why aren't you responding? God, why aren't I getting answers quicker? Why am I struggling in this season? Maybe you're saying, God, where are you in my waiting? But I want to encourage you that if we keep the right attitude and the right spirit as we wait for the solution to our dilemma, God's promises, he will always come through for the child of God. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, that's important because some of us are waiting on other people to get their act together. We're waiting on circumstances to align. We're waiting for our boss to fix things. Let me help you. Here's the answer to your solution. Wait patiently for the Lord. Because when you wait for the Lord, everything else will come into place. Who or what are you focusing on? What are you waiting for? That word patiently is one of those complex Hebrew words. Now, I'm not one of these guys that goes into the Hebrew or Greek. I know a little Greek. He owns a restaurant in Aberdeen. But I'm not. Kaboom. So Haven't heard that one in a while. Thought I'd just get it out before the guys. But I'm not one of these that delve all the time into. Well, I do actually look at the Hebrew and Greek a lot, but I don't bring it a lot in sermons because sometimes we can get lost in all that. But this word patiently is so fascinating because it actually takes two English words to really get what it means across. It's one of these complex Hebrew words. And here's what it means. It means to be in a position of hope and expectation. So when David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, within his heart and spirit was, there was a hope and there was an expectation. He maintained a posture of being hopeful. He was looking and expecting that God was going to do something. It means to be bound and connected for God. In fact, in the original Hebrew, it means waiting, I waited. Waiting, I waited. Now, can you feel or sense how that goes against the grain of 2018 culture, people that are so fast-paced that in waiting, I wait? But the psalmist says that when we have an expectation that God is going to move on our behalf, that God doesn't respond to your time frame, but he always nails it in his time frame. But in our waiting, in our seasons that are changing, that we are so expecting that we can stay fast, hold fast, not create drama, not get into panic, because we know that God is faithful, that what he began, he's faithful to finish, that we can know that we know that because he loves us and we love him, that we expect and believe that God is going to move on our behalf. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. Now, here's the problem with many of us. I don't know about you. I should say me. I'm a fixer. Any fixers in the room? I know. You don't need to put your hand up. I know who you are. You're fixers in the room. And the challenge is that we want to fix the situation. We want to put our Superman suit on. We want to get everyone else out of the way because we want to sort of fly in and sort things out. And I've discovered that if I don't wait patiently in the waiting area, sometimes I mess up the very thing that God is getting ready to fix. That I get involved because I'm nervous, I'm anxious, my lack of patience, I want it sorted now. So I think if I jump in, I can sort it. But me jumping in, Neil Cameron jumping in, just makes things worse. I've discovered this. While God is working on the situation, he's also working on you. That many times, while I'm going through stuff, God is actually doing a work in me. He's developing my character. He's forming me and shaping me like the potter with the clay because he knows the end result of what he wants me to look like. I don't. He knows exactly what he wants to do in and through me. I don't know the totality of that. So often God is shaping, forming, dealing my character, my attitude, everything within me for the bigness of what he wants to do through me. So if I believe that God wants to do big things through me, then I've got to allow God to shape and form me that I can be the vessel that he can flow through. Because if I don't, I would think the vessel would look a certain way when God says that vessel, that certain way, will only have the capacity for X amount. But as he forms and shapes and enlarges me and develops me, because at times I think I'm ready, but I'm not. I'll let you into a wee secret. You want to hear a wee secret? Many of you know that this last wee while I've sort of been, the treadmill we've got in the garage, I've been out in the treadmill doing a bit of running, 5K. Every second day I said 5K. Phyllis is impressed. So I'm out in the treadmill. It's always at the same. I like it at the same pace. It's always at the same level of incline. Pretty good. Last week, the treadmill broke. So I thought, oh, what am I going to do? So Neely, those of you that know our oldest boy, who also trains in the gym and does the weights and all this sort of thing, don't know why he needs to do that. Anyway, so he says to me, hey, Dad, I'm going out for a run. Do you want to come with me? Well, remember, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I mean, I'm running 5K, Daniel. I'm thinking, yeah. So he's like, hey, Dad, you want to come out and run with me? He said, I'm like, I don't think I'll be able to keep up with you. He says, no. He says, what I do is, he says, run fast for a couple of lampposts. He says, then I slow it down, you know, that high intensity thing. Then I run fast. I said, yeah, I reckon, yeah, I reckon I've got this covered. So gets on the gym kit. gets a picture taken, me and my boy, quality time. So we go. But remember, I'm running on the treadmill all this time at the same incline. No wind, no resistance. You with me? And I'm not thinking in my head, wait a minute, there's different inclines. I mean, you should see my driveway. It's crazy. And so I go out with Neil. And you know, the first little bit, no problem. We run fast. Yeah. Then the wind's blowing in your face. My hair all over the place, you know. And here we go. And Neil's just sort of like, and I hear this. It's me. And suddenly, because of the, now it was a massive incline. So it was, you know what I mean. Are you with me? Just the contour. And suddenly, because I'm in a different environment and different inclines, that seriously, on the treadmill at the pace and the incline, I can run 35, 40 minutes, no problem. After 10 minutes, I'm dying. I'm like 999. Seriously, he wasn't going fast. It wasn't that the pace was faster, but just the slightly different inclined and environment brought out a different response in me that pretty cool on the treadmill, but actually face a slight hill or a slight incline and things change. And how many of us spiritually, we think, hey, God, I think I've got this together. I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm getting over this one. I think I'm getting over that one. And your pace doesn't change, but sometimes environment changes. Sometimes circumstances are different, and you're like, oh, I can't get my breath. I can't breathe. What's happening? I tell you what, God is shaping and forming you. And actually, God wants us to go through different seasons and times, because if we want to be that person that he's called us to be, we have got to be challenged by these different circumstances. Come on, someone say amen. So last time I went out with Neil, I didn't get very far because I got an injury. No, I did. Seriously, I got an injury and had to go home. So I just released him to go run. And I hobbled back home, and Phyllis is like, you're in early. I went, yeah, beat that young boy. He's still out there. James said this, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. All right, let's get real practical then. You're saying, but Pastor, how? I'm tired of waiting. Teach me how to wait. I'm this close to giving up, God. I can't give up. Keep going. Neil, help us here. Well, I think this psalm will really help us in just three quick, easy points for you to remember. Number one, God, while you're in waiting, God will always hear your cry. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. Whatever you're going through, you think that God is absent. God is always making strategic moves towards you. Even when you think that God is not responding, that word inclined means this, that God will stretch and bend over and come to wherever you are. Don't you like that? So on the front row here, when Eddie and Jillian are shouting out, God, we need your help, God will get to wherever you are. He will bend over Eddie, and he will incline his ear to hear you. And the same time as you're crying out for God, across here, Ashley's crying out to God because she's going, why did I marry this guy? He is crazy. He can't run 5K. God... God is inclining his ear, and I need you to get this, church, because we sometimes think, God, where are you? And we see God work on behalf of someone else over there, and we think, can God work on my behalf over here? Yes, he will. David says, wherever you are, God will incline his ear, and he will hear your cry. He will get to wherever you are. We think, I've got to get to God. No, God will get to you. The Bible says, God revealed, demonstrated, commendeth his love towards us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God didn't wait for you to get your act together to get to heaven. He sent his son Jesus to come to where you are. Now, if that's what God does for us while we were sinners, how much more is he going to do for us, church, as saints of God? He's going to incline himself. He's going to hear my cry. Listen, even in a sinful state, God hears us. It's funny, isn't it, that we give the opportunity for people to respond to Jesus who are in a sinful state, and they respond to Jesus, and we know that Christ hears their cry, yes. And yet, as Christians, we think that God forgets us. We think that now that we're saved, if we make a mistake, that God is not going to hear our cry. The psalmist said, as sinful as we are, regardless of the mistakes we've made, God will turn aside to hear the cry of his children. So if you feel like you're in the waiting area, don't be concerned. God's got you covered. Just wait patiently for the Lord. Remember blind Bartimaeus? We read about him. Jesus is walking through Jericho with his disciples. There's blind Bartimaeus. He hears it's Jesus. He shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Bible says that when everyone else was telling him to shut up, Jesus says, "Get him to me." Jesus heard the cry of blind Bartimaeus. If he hears the cry of blind Bartimaeus, don't you think he can hear your cry? That you're in this waiting area of, "God, where are you? What's happening in my world? I feel you've given up on me. I'm getting no answers." God knows exactly where you are. David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." I've got to tell you this. I was in a shopping mall a couple of weeks ago, and there was a little child with its parents, and the child obviously wanted something from the store that the parents had decided the child was not going to get. You ever been there? And the child was desperate to get whatever it was. So the child did what none of your children would do. The child threw itself on the ground, started kicking and screaming and wailing, "I want, I want, I want, I want." And I'm thinking, "Well, I'd love to give. I'd love to give. I'd love to give." And please forgive me, because I know we're all into modern parenting now, so I don't want to stand on anyone's toes. But all I want to say is this, okay? In my generation, my parents would have ministered to me in a language that immediately would have been understanding and got a response. And then, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. It's obviously still in me. Then the mother starts to negotiate with the child. "Please. You're making mommy so upset. Mommy's really hurt. Mommy's hurt. You're the parent. Don't negotiate with the child. Tantrums." Now, the reason I said that, I don't even know why I said that, but I better turn this around quickly. How many of us have temper tantrums with God? That while we're waiting and not getting the answers, that we get all upset, and we start to kick our heels, and we start to flap out at God. The psalmist said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry." Then what happened? The psalmist said this: "He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps." I love this. God will lift you up to set you up. I said, God will lift you up to set you up. You see, the psalmist was going through a situation. He felt like he was in a pit, a hole, a prison, a dungeon, the prison of our circumstances. And we've all been there, because we all have a history. We all have a backstory. We all have a narrative. But the psalmist gives us encouragement, because he says, "I was in a pit." He says, "I was in the miry clay, but God lifted me up." Christians, isn't that our testimony this morning? God lifted us up. Eddie, you didn't crawl your way out of that mess. God reached down his hand and he lifted you up. Now, if God has done that for us, how much more does he want to do it for us now? He wants to lift us up of any pit or circumstance. And the psalmist said, it was like miry clay. Dubs. Dubs. Have you ever been running through mud? Have you ever tried to run through mud? It's horrible, isn't it? And some of it sticks to you. And the psalmist here, the implication is very strong. He says, "I felt like I was in a pit." He says, "I felt like I was caught up in mud." He says, "I felt like stuff was sticking to me." He says, "I couldn't get out myself." He says, "I couldn't make it." He says, "But something incredible happened. In the midst of my circumstance, God reached down his hand and he lifted me up. I love that, church. I said, I love that. He lifted me up, because some of you are down and God's lifted you up. Some of you are down in heart and spirit and circumstance, but God lifts us up. And not only does he lift us up, it says, he set my feet on a rock and he established my goings. In other words, no longer does it feel like I'm running through mud. Now I can run through a troop and leap over a wall, because God has put me on a rock and established my feet. In 2018, I believe that God still establishes our walk. And you're in the waiting area and you're saying, God, where are you? Notice the psalmist said this, it was a horrible pit. It wasn't even just a pit. He says, it was a horrible pit. Ever felt like you're there? And you ever felt like you're just going through the motions, getting nowhere, and things are sticking to you and you're at breaking point? The psalmist declared this, that God will reach down his hand and he'll lift you up. He will help you to be who he's called you to be. You have not given your heart to Jesus to feel like you're running through mud. He has set your feet on a rock and he has established your way. That talks about a firm foundation. I'm not on shaky ground this morning. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Come on, someone give me a good amen. Amen. What about a solid rock? Oh, but you're in the waiting. You're in the waiting and it feels like it's muddy and it feels like things are sticking. Well, I'll tell you what, don't look to man, look to God. He will lift you up. Then one last thing I want to say, don't worry, I take a while to say it. He says, and God has put a new song. God has put a new song in my mouth. It doesn't say, oh, I've learned a new song. It says, God has put a new song in my mouth. I believe in 2018, God's going to give us a new song. Now, when I say new song, some of you are thinking, oh, is that new lyrics? Is that the latest coming down the line from so-and-so? No, what I'm talking about this morning is that freshness of what God wants to do in and through you. In other words, once again, excuse me for using an example of my family. I'm watching Neely, oldest boy, comes in the other day. Neely's great. He's got his own house, all right? But he comes to us for dinner, and then he goes to work, and then he comes home and works out in the gym or goes a run, picks up his washing, has his supper, and then he goes home. I've trained him well. That's a smart kid. I was listening to him the other day just as he was walking through the corridor. You know, by the way, it was Hillsong stuff he was whistling as well. And I'm like, wow, look at him, chirpy, smiling. You know, I could just see by his demeanor that things were going good. And I thought about the scripture that God can put a new song in your mouth. And as he's doing that, I'm saying, God, I want a new song in his mouth. I want a new song in his mouth. But some of you are in here and you've lost your song. What I mean, when we sing, you sing. When we lift hands, you lift hands. But you've lost that passion. And the psalmist said that sometimes when you're in the waiting area, that sometimes you can lose your song. But the psalmist says, listen, God is going to lift you up and he's going to put a new song in your mouth. You're going to reclaim that ground you lost. And you're going to rediscover that joy that you once had. And listen to this. I've got to say this. Say he's going to say it anyway. Listen to what the psalmist also said. And many will see it and fear and will trust the Lord. In other words, people are watching you in the waiting area. And they're looking at how you respond. And when they see you respond as a mature Christian and get that song back, they're suddenly going to go, wait a minute, if God can do it for them, God can do it for me. You become a living epistle and testimony for the glory of God when you can handle the waiting area. We want to see more people saved. People are going through struggles. People are looking on. Mom in hospital, both Aberdeen and Peterhead. Right, by God's grace, should be getting home tomorrow. By God's grace, you need to be praying. pray that everything's set up. And she's like, oh, I've got to get home, so I need you to be praying that happens. Both in Aberdeen and Peterhead, here's what Mom says. I've got to leave a good testimony. I've got to leave a good testimony. In fact, one of the nurses, one of the senior nurses from Aberdeen, has promised Mom that she's actually going to come through from Aberdeen to Peterhead to one of our church services because she's been so impacted by Mom in Aberdeen. I think that's pretty good. Many will see it and fear and will trust the Lord, because the very test that you're going through becomes the testimony to others. You see, there's a lot of folks, they won't come to church, but they see Christ in you. They don't fully understand every circumstance, but they're looking to see how you as a Christian respond to the circumstance, because they're watching and they're going, wait a minute, they shouldn't be singing. They should have lost their song a long time ago, but wow, there's something in them that I want what they've got. Hey, I want to be a witness for God. What about you? Let me finish with this. Band are coming. I'm going to call this the 40-40 rule. We read Psalm 40. Now listen to Isaiah 40, the 40-40 rule. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Pastor Dan read it this morning. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Church, I don't know about you, but I want to be an Isaiah 40 person. I want to be a Psalm 40 person. I want to be the 40-40 that in the waiting room, while I'm going through the testing, that I realize and understand that God will get to where I am and incline his ear and hear my cry. That he's going to lift me up. Oh, you're waiting for people to lift you up? No. God's going to lift you out of that miry clay, that I'm getting nowhere, that it's the same old, that's the nothing changes. Here's the promise of God. He's going to lift you up. He's going to set you on solid ground. He's going to establish your steps. And he's going to put a new song in your mouth. And I, by God's grace, get to become a witness to the faithfulness of God that many are going to look on and go, whoa, I want their Jesus. I want their God. I want what they've got. Folks, there are benefits to being in the waiting room. Come on, we're closing our eyes. We're praying right now because perhaps there are people in this room that don't know Jesus. But thank you. Perhaps there are people here that you've never had a relationship with Christ, or you're here and your life is not right before God. Maybe you're struggling in the midst of things. I would love for you to connect with Jesus. I would love for you to give your heart to him. And this P.S. message, P.S., a postscriptum, added message, just it's in the waiting. It's in the waiting. You're here, you don't know Jesus, and perhaps you're blaming your circumstance for the reason that you won't connect with God. You put your umbrella up. Here's your opportunity to give your heart to him. Give your life to Jesus. He loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You're here and you don't know Jesus, and you say, Neil, I want to connect with him this morning. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Would you lift your hand? Praying all over this building that people would fall in love with him. People would recognize their need for him. People would say, I need the Lord. You're here and you know your life's not right with God. You've turned your back on God. You've got involved in things you shouldn't. You're saying, no, I need to reconnect with God and his purpose. You hear? Well, you're here and perhaps you feel like you've been in God's waiting room. I certainly know I have many times in my life. I know there's times I've responded well. There's times I've responded real badly. But I was just praying this morning. I'm saying, God, would you help me to just be the person that you've called me to be? Lord, at times I think you're far from me and perhaps you've abandoned or given up on me, but you incline your ear towards me. You hear my cry. And you lift me up out of miry clay when I feel like I'm getting nowhere. And you establish my feet on a rock. And you're putting a new song in my mouth to your glory.